Well, if you were here with us at all in 2016 and 2017, you know that we went through an entire series on the book of Acts. We took a few breaks for guest speakers, holidays, different things like that. But when all was said and done, when I went back and looked, we spent a total of 60 weeks in the book of Acts. And it was a great time. I hope you were encouraged by it as much as I was. But somewhere in the middle of that series, for some reason, and I'm not quite sure why, but God had started to put the book of John on my heart. And so for 5 or 6 months leading up to 2018, I kind of had been planning on doing a series through the book of John, like we had done through Acts, where we would just start in the beginning and work our way all the way through it. And my original plan was to kick that off about middle to late January. But as I mentioned before, right before Christmas, God kind of started stirring things up, shaking things up a little bit. I had other things that God began to kind of put into my heart, and I was trying to figure out, okay, God, am I doing John? What am I doing here? And after prayer and a few random conversations, it just seemed to confirm what I was feeling. And so I made this decision to go a completely different direction. At some point, we're probably going to go through John, but just not yet, okay? Now, one of those conversations that I had was with a ministry leader who often ministers to college students. And in this conversation, he talked about discovering the need of having to go back to the basics with a lot of these college students. He mentioned he was talking to one of the students who was actually a Christian, who had been raised in church, grew up in church his whole life. And in this conversation, he referenced Cain and Abel. And this student responded by saying, well, who is Cain and Abel? And my thought was, here is a kid who was actually raised in the church, and he doesn't know who Cain and Abel are. And for those of you here this morning who are thinking, I don't know who Cain and Abel is, Cain and Abel are the sons of Adam and Eve, their first two sons. Cain was born first, then Abel, and unfortunately Cain has the unpleasant title in the Bible of being the first person to ever commit murder, as he killed his brother Abel out of jealousy. But this conversation about not knowing Cain and Abel made me realize that there are probably a lot of people who don't know who they are, especially if they didn't grow up in the church. And I began to think of a lot of people in the Bible, a lot of different stories from the Bible that many people might not be aware of. Whether you grew up in church or you didn't grow up in church, the Bible is full of many stories that many people aren't aware of, or maybe they've forgotten. If you were young and you're like, wow, well, oh yeah, that was a long time ago. Who are those people that we've forgotten? And so I began to pray about this, and I began to pray about doing a series through the Bible. All right? And so we want to take some time to go through these stories, to go through the lives of people that God felt were important enough to put in the Bible to talk about, right? And so that's what we're going to do. This morning we're starting a series that we might be in for 2 or 3 years. I don't know. It might be a little while. When I first laid it out and I only got through the first part of the Gospels, I didn't get through all the Old Testament, or New Testament, I mean, I was somewhere around 66 weeks, okay? So it's longer than the Acts series for sure. I'm not sure, but we're going to start a new series today titled The Bible, A True Story. A True Story. If you've been around here very long, you know that one of our core values is God's Word, the Bible. It's one of our core values. And that's because we believe the Bible to be true. We believe that this book, it's life-giving. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that it's living and active, okay? It actually breathes life. The problem is many of us just see it as this book, and a lot of people see it as a rule book of just telling us all the things we cannot do in life, right? But I want to tell you this morning, it's not a rule book. It's a story book. And as Christians, we believe it tells the true story of God. And it tells us who He is and also who He desires us to be. All throughout the Bible, God is revealing Himself to us through His people and through these amazing stories. Now, as we get ready to dive into this storybook, I think there's some things that we need to understand about it. Even though it was written by 40 different authors, 40 different people helped write the Bible, on three different continents, in three different languages, over a period of 15 centuries, even though that it was inspired by God. These authors may have written down the words, but it was inspired by God. God led and directed what they would write. And that's what we believe. That's why we value God's Word so deeply. Now, the Bible consists of 66 books from Genesis to Revelation, which means it consists of 773,692 original words. And according to early Jewish beliefs, they believed that there were so many different translations of words and how it could be broken down that they believed that you could spend every hour of every day for the rest of your lives reading the Bible and still not know or understand all there is to know about the God we serve. That's why we don't just take the Bible and read it, oh, that was a good read, and put it on the shelf. It's living and active, and it continues to speak to us every time we open it up. And my hope as we dive into this series, as we begin to look at these amazing stories, is that each week God will reveal to each of us more and more of who He is. And so this morning we're going to begin our series at the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1. So this would be the easiest time of opening your Bibles and getting to the right place, okay? All right, you're not like, wait, where is that book? Is it between this or that, you know? This is at the very beginning, should be the easiest. Now, I'm going to read the entire first chapter of Genesis and then the first few verses of chapter 2. And so if you have your Bibles, you can read along with me. Or you may just want to sit back and listen. Just close your eyes as I read this amazing story and just hear it and let it kind of wash over you. But here it is, beginning in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kind, trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. Verse 16, God made two great lights. The greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26, my favorite verse. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that He made and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. In chapter 2 it says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. A lot there, but man, what an amazing beginning. Am I right? This here is the story of creation. It's what we as Christians believe. It's what we as followers of Jesus believe in how the earth, how we were created. Now, I know that there are people who have different opinions and different beliefs of life and the beginning of this world as we know it. There are people that believe in evolution. There are people that believe in the Big Bang Theory. There's all sorts of combinations of all these things. And I just want to tell you, I'm not here this morning to debate over these beliefs, to tell you this belief is right over this belief. Because here's the thing, the reality is I can't prove the existence of God any more than the next person can disprove His existence. And so I'm not here to debate this morning. I just want to share my beliefs and what I believe as a Christian. I love what Albert Einstein said, though. He said that science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. I believe that God has revealed His divine nature through His creation, and thus I believe in God. I believe in the Bible to be the Word of God, and so that is what I base my beliefs upon. And as we read these scriptures, as we read the beginning of creation, there are all sorts of things we could talk about, all sorts of directions we could go, but I want to just focus on two main thoughts this morning, two very simple thoughts. And the first one is this: we serve a great big God. A great big God. When we read about all that God did in this first chapter, we can't help but realize how big, how awesome, how vast a God He must really be. The reality is how big God is goes beyond our comprehension, goes beyond our ability to understand. You see, to be able to create the heavens and the earth in a matter of days is amazing. Now, I understand that there is some debate about whether or not one day for God was the same 24-hour day that we experience. But my answer to that is, who really cares? Right? Whether it was one day like ours, or whether it was 10 days, or 100 days, or 1,000 days, or years, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact of how big and amazing God would have to be to create all that He's created, to create the heavens and the earth. Now, many of you know that I'm a big Mark Batterson fan, who is a pastor in Washington, D.C. He was at our Foursquare convention this last year, and I saw him, and I don't know why. I love him, and I love listening to his messages. I listen to his podcast weekly. And in one of his podcasts from last year, he was actually talking about creation. And he was talking about the fact that we have just discovered in the last 100 years or less things that make us understand that God, that the world is even bigger than we even knew. Does that make sense? Right? Because of advances in science and technology, we've discovered things in the last 100 years that people didn't know, right? I mean, it's like back, you go back to Columbus, they thought the world was flat, right? Oh, wow, you can actually go around. And with science and technology, we keep growing. And so in the last 100 years, we've learned things that we never knew or never realized about this world that we live in. He talked about the fact that according to science, there are millions of songs that are playing all around us right now that we can't hear. We don't have the capacity to hear. We can't hear infrasonic or ultrasonic sounds without some special technology, right? Without some sort of special instruments. And so we don't know. We can't hear whales. Did you know that whales emit sounds that travel 4,000 miles underwater? And we'll never be able to hear them with our limited range of hearing without something special to listen to them. It's also been discovered that earthworms sing, right? We know that birds sing, right? We listen to the birds chirping and singing as we walk, you know, on a beautiful day like today. But did you know that earthworms sing? But they sing at a range that no one could hear with their own ears. You need special instruments to hear the sounds in which they make. I also found that hydrogen atoms are actually musical. They actually emit more notes than a grand piano. But we'll never hear them with our limited ability of hearing. Now, the same is true about what we see, about our sight. There are things that our eyes aren't capable of seeing. And let me just tell you, this is probably a really good thing, okay? A few years ago, I went on a field trip with my daughter to OMSI. And there was a video that we watched there, I forget the title of it, but it showed us these little creatures crawling around our world that we can't see, right? Creatures that are actually crawling on your skin, right? You know, things like dust mites and creatures, they crawl all around us, in things all around us, but they're too small for us to see without a super-powered microscope. So we don't know that they're there. We're not freaked out because we can't see them. If we had those eyes, if we had microscopic eyes, we'd be like, ah! We'd freak out for the stuff around us. The reality is, the world, which already seems big, is bigger than we can even comprehend. From the minuteness of sights and sounds that we aren't even aware of without advanced technology, to the massiveness of the galaxies and beyond, right? I actually want to give you a little idea of what I'm talking about as we look at the galaxies and beyond. I found a little video online that gives us some perspective on how big and massive God is in comparing our Earth to the galaxy and the things around us. And so let's go ahead and start this video. It starts out with the moon, right? That's our moon. And then it starts to show you some planets. You got Mercury. You got Mars. You got, I think it's Neptune next, am I right? No, Venus. You got Venus. And Venus, this coming up next is the Earth. Venus and the Earth are pretty close in size. So when you compare the Earth to these things, Earth doesn't seem that small. But when you begin to compare the Earth to the stars, to things like, or actually, let me say bigger planets. Let's start with that. Sorry, with bigger planets. There's Neptune. I knew Neptune was on there. And Saturn. So now all of a sudden the Earth looks a little bit smaller compared to these planets, right? To Jupiter. Look, you can barely even see the Earth there. But now you compare it to the sun. It's like this little blip back there, how small the Earth is. And here's the thing, the sun is the smallest, one, a small star. Compare the sun to these bigger stars. You got Sirius A that is twice the size of the sun. You got Pollux, an orange giant, which is 8 times the size of the sun. You got Arcturus, a red giant, which is 26 times the size of the sun. You got Aldebaran. It's another red giant star, 44 times larger than the sun. You've got Rigel, is a blue supergiant, over 78 times bigger than the sun. You've got Pistol Star, a blue hypergiant. It's estimated to be over 100 times larger than the sun. You've got Antares A, a red supergiant, 700 times larger than the sun. You've got Musephei, 1,650 times larger than the sun. And then one of the largest stars that we are aware of, the VY Canis Majoris. It's one of the giant stars. It's over 2,000 times bigger than the sun, largest known star known to us at this time. It's pretty crazy. Now, I didn't know I'd have to spend so much time studying in my studying time of learning how to pronounce stars, okay? I had to write them out phonetically here. But let me just give you an idea, okay, of comparing the Earth to this largest star, okay? If you were to fly around the surface of the Earth in a jet at 560 miles per hour, okay, that's 900 kilometers. If you were to do it 560 miles an hour nonstop around the surface of the Earth, it would take you right around 44 and a half hours to completely circle the Earth. That's like 2 days, right? So it would literally take you 2 days, 560 miles an hour, to go around the surface of the Earth. Now, you go to this Canis Majoris, all right? If you were to travel in a jet at the same speed, anyone have any idea of how long it would take you to get around this giant star? A few years maybe? Close. 1,100 years. 1,100 years to fly around that at 570. You know, two days, a little less than 2 days around Earth. 1,100 years at the same speed to get around that giant star. And so when you compare the Earth to some of these giant stars, we realize it's the Disney song from The Ride isn't that different, right? It's a small world after all, right? It's a small world after all, right? But the Earth and us compared to the stars and all these things compared to God is minute, but God is big. His creation is big. And the thing is as technology continues to advance, we continue to discover more and more about God's amazing creation. That's the largest known star that we are aware of, right? There could be bigger and more out there. We're discovering that there is no limit to God. He doesn't live within space and time. There is no limit to Him. He's outside of space and time. Like I said, we serve a great big God. And here's the thing, if we try to put limits on God, then what we're doing is we're creating God in our image. And that's not the way it should be, right? That's something that can become a dangerous thing, because the reality is we're pretty small and we're pretty insignificant compared to God. His creation shows us this. And to think anything else, I think we'd be missing the mark on who God is. on how big and vast and amazing He is. But, and this is a big but, I want you to hear next, okay? Because this idea of a great big God, it causes many of us to have a view or a skewed view of our Creator. Because we see Him, oh my gosh, God is so big, God is so amazing, and we should. But it gives us this skewed view of our Creator, which brings me to the second point I want to share this morning. Yes, we serve a great big God, a God that is so big and so vast that we can't even wrap our minds around it. But my second point this morning is this. We also serve a very intimate God. He desires to be close to every single one of us. Now, the interesting thing is that for those who understand creation and understand how big God is, it's difficult to think or comprehend a close, intimate God. But in the midst of creating the heavens and the earth, God stops and creates us. He creates man and woman. In verse 26, then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." And then in verse 27, it tells us, "So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female." Now, here's the question. Why were we created in His image? I believe we were created in His image so that we could connect with Him, so that we could have relationship with Him. You've heard me say it time and time again that we were created for relationship with God. And if we were to read on here in Genesis, we would see that His creation, the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, they walked and they talked with God. They had this amazing, perfect relationship with God that He intended for all of us to have. He wants all of us to have that relationship with Him. Next week, we're going to take some time to look at the fall as we continue through the Bible, to take a closer look at how sin entered our world. But when that happened, when Adam and Eve fell, when sin entered the world, it changed God's relationship with mankind. We know that. But it didn't mean that God wasn't still close. It didn't mean that God didn't want to still be intimate. Throughout the Bible, God reveals to us that He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. That He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And He's what? Omnipresent. Right? He is all-present. There isn't any place that we can go where He isn't there. And even though the fall brought a separation between God and mankind, He has always been right there. As a matter of fact, I came across something pretty interesting as I was studying and preparing for this message. I found out that there are Hebrew scholars, original Hebrew scholars, who believe that the name of God, Yahweh, that is the Hebrew name for God, Yahweh, that without the vowels is actually synonymous with the sound of breathing. So as I breathe in and I breathe out, if these scholars are correct, I'm actually speaking the name of God. Even in my darkest fallen state, I'm speaking the name of God. I don't know about you, but it blows my mind to think about that, to think about the intimate God that would create us in that way. And think about this, if that is true, then the first thing we ever say as we enter this world is the name of God. As we take that first breath, right? And the last word we ever say is Yahweh. Pretty crazy thought, right? It's amazing the intimacy, the details of the God that we serve. And as I looked into this, I found that we take an average of 23,000 breaths a day. Do you know that you breathe in, the average person breathes in around 23,000 breaths a day. Which means this, that throughout the day we are continually whispering His name, whether we realize it or not. That we're whispering the name of God. He is as close as our breath. And we serve an intimate God that desires relationship with us. There is nowhere we can go that He is not there. David talks about this in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Let me read it to you. He says this, "Where can I go from Your Spirit? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to the heavens, You are there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me, Your right hand will hold me fast." Even after the fall, God was there. And He desired relationship with us, so much so that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, to pay the price for our sins. The sin of Adam was redeemed by the love of Jesus. It talks about this in Romans 5:18. Listen to what it says. It says, "Consequently, just as one trespass," which was the sin of Adam and Eve, right? That trespass that brought sin and death into the world. "Just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act," Jesus dying on the cross for us, "one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people." God did all this so our relationship with Him could be restored. Yes, we serve a great big God, but He isn't too big or too great to have a close, intimate relationship with all of us. The story of creation is an amazing thing. And honestly, it's hard for our finite little minds to truly grasp it, to truly understand all that there is to understand. But it's important that we understand the beginning of the story, the beginning of our story. It's important that we understand that God is our Creator. And He is so big and so amazing and so capable of anything. There is nothing He cannot heal. There is nothing He cannot restore. There is nothing He cannot fix. There is nothing that He cannot do in and through our lives. We serve a great, big God. But we also serve a very intimate God. A God who's right there with us in the midst of whatever we're dealing with, whatever we're struggling through. And the fact that He's big and intimate should be a comfort for each of us. To trust in Him and to trust in His hand upon our life. There's probably some of us in this room that don't know that relationship. And when I think about the fact that we serve a great big God, but a God that is also intimate, He desires relationship with all of His creation. And maybe there's some of you in this room that you've never had that relationship. And it's pretty simple. It's just saying, "God, I realize that I'm a sinner. Please come into my life and make me new." It's a very simple thing. And this morning, I'm going to finish here in prayer to kind of wrap up our time. But if that's you, In the midst of that prayer, if you're saying, man, I've never made that decision. I've heard about God. I've heard a lot of different things, but I don't have that relationship. I've always seen Him as that distant God. But this morning, I want to know Him as my intimate God. Then in the midst of prayer, just pray that prayer. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Come into my life. And guess what? He comes in. It's that simple. We overcomplicate things in church. You know, we try to tell people, oh, you want to become, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to blah, 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 blah. Hey, Jesus says, if we confess with our mouth that He is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. So that's all we got to do. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your Word, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You are a great, big God. And Lord, we want to have an intimate relationship with You. That, Lord, You're not just this great big God that looks down and moves the pawn pieces on a chess game. Lord, You're this great big God that created us because You wanted intimacy with us. You wanted relationship with us, Lord. And so we thank You for that. We thank You for the story of creation. We thank You for Your Word that You give us, Lord. We want to be faithful to open Your Word, to read Your Word, to allow these stories to begin to jump off the page, to be living and active as Your Word talks about. We want to discover who You are, Lord, deeper than we ever have before. And so we thank You, Lord, that You are this great big God and that there is more and more of You for us to discover. And my prayer this morning is that we would continue to be seeking to discover those things, Lord. To continue to seek You and to live the life that You've called us to live. We thank You for that, Lord. And I just pray this morning, Lord, if there's anybody in this room that doesn't have that close, intimate relationship with You, that they would make that choice, Lord. Lord, that's the amazing thing about You too, is You created us and You gave each of us a choice. We can choose to follow You. We can choose not to. It's our choice, Lord. But my prayer this morning is those here would see who You are, would understand that You're a great big God and that You want a relationship with them and that they would say yes to You, Lord. We thank You for these things, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. We pray that You would just continue to pour out Your Spirit upon us. Lord, may we continue to walk in the power of Your presence. We give these things to You. We pray them in Jesus' precious name. Together they said, Amen. Amen.